going to present some work that I did with Jeff Fader. I apologize that he wasn't able to make it. While I was a postdoc in his lab at Notre Dame, and now I'm at the Ohio State University. So what we're interested in is looking at how genetic variations partition between the host races of Ragalaetes pulmonella. And so I'll go over a little of the history of this fly, if you're not familiar with it. This fly is a North American distribution, and its ancestral host is hawthorns, or those members in the Cretigus genus here. And during the European colonization of North America, apples were introduced and cultivated. And in the 1860s, the famed entomologist Benjamin Walsh first discovered Ragalaetes pulmonella infesting these cultivated apples, and he termed them host races, which are partially reproductively isolated populations thought to diverge without any geographic isolation. So Ragalaetes has become one of the main examples, or a good example, of sympatric speciation, speciation without geographical isolation. So for host race formation, because there's no geographical isolation, there has to be some sort of life history variation to begin to diverge these populations. In the case of Ragalaetes, there are variation in two traits. One is host preference and avoidance, and this is what Jeff was going to talk about if he was able to make it, where flies emerging from the hawthorn fruit prefer volatiles, prefer odors from the hawthorn, and actually avoid odors from the apple tree. And the flies coming from apples, the apple race, are the opposite. They prefer blends from the apple tree and actually avoid blends, avoid odors from the hawthorn tree. There's also an important difference in the phenology and diapause. Because these flies are really so dependent on their host fruits, they're completely matched with the phenology of the host fruits. And apples tend to fruit about 4 to 6 weeks earlier than hawthorns, so the apple race has shifted its emergence time to emerge 4 to 6 weeks earlier than the hawthorn race. And this gives it to a little allocratic temporal isolation for the maintenance of these two populations. And so when we look at pulmonella in North America, it has a mainly eastern United States distribution, the hawthorn and the apple race. Previous work that I've done in Jeff's lab suggests, and previous work others have done, suggests that the ancestral population came from Mexico, where we have two distinct Mexican populations here, one in the central highlands of Mexico, and then here along the eastern slopes of the Sierra Madre Oriental Mountains. And based on some microsat and mitochondrial DNA work, we found that these two populations of Mexico have been diverging for about 0.8 to 1 million years, corresponding to the eastern uplift of the Mexican transvolcanic region here. And what we've also found is that there's been a recent population expansion from northern Mexico, southern Texas, into the eastern United States, probably or possibly due to after the Pleistocene glacial recession. And what this has resulted in is latitudinal environmental climes in North America. And so here what we see latitudinal climes versus emergence. So here what's plotted on the X is latitude from south to north. And here we have the mean number of days to adult occlusion. And you can see here that populations that are collected in the north have a shorter number of days to occlusion, meaning they occlude earlier in the season. This is probably due to the shorter growing periods in the northern latitudes. So early work by Stuart Burlocker and Bruce McFerrin have shown that there are certain allozyme frequencies that are linked to this frequency climb. So here they're showing latitude from south to north, and then certain allozyme frequencies, and you can see as latitude increases, the frequency of certain allozyme alleles increase. These have been mapped to chromosomes 1 through 3. There are 6 chromosomes in Ragalaetes. Jeff Fader and colleagues found that by sequencing some random cDNAs with Mexican populations as well as North American population, saw evidence of natural selection occurring on cDNAs located on chromosomes 1 through 3 versus chromosomes located in 4 through 5. 6 was relatively untested. These two data suggest that markers on chromosomes 1 through 3 might be under selection, especially for diapause, linking it with the latitudinal climes. So we were interested in looking at the rest of the genome to do a more thorough genetic analysis. So when we first did this, there are 80 microsats available for pulmonella, but we were only able to get 36 to work on this. We're going to try to see if we can get the rest of them one. So I'm presenting data. I would say this is a partial genome scan. We have 7 populations, 4 for hawthorn, here shown in the green, and then 3 for the apple, shown here in the blue. And in three collections, we have some Patrick collections of both host races. So we're going to look at climate variation within host races here for the Hawthorn, and the climate variation within the Apple. And then in these three sites here, we're going to look for any significant genetic allele frequency differentiation between host races. We'll look at allele frequency clients. And then we're also going to use some modern statistical methods to look for deviations from equilibrium, to look for any loci or any loci that are deemed outlier loci, showing more genetic differentiation than is expected, which might link them to selection. So LNRH is a statistic specifically designed for microsatellites. It compares heterozygosity difference between two populations on the suggestion that after selection it decreases heterozygosity after fixation. It's just a statistic that's normally distributed, so anything that lies outside two standard deviations is deemed significant. FDIS and dead cell use variation in genetic differentiation. And so when we looked at the loci and allele frequencies, our loci broke up into four different categories. First we had, you can't really see this at the top here, but this is a clinal loci that were just exhibited within the Haw race. So here the Haw race is in the red, and the Apple race is in the green. And you can see here a lot of, and I'm not showing all the data, but a lot of loci showing clinal variation in just the Haw race. And what was interesting is that we discovered microsatellite loci on chromosome 4 and 5 also exhibiting significant clinal variation, which is a new result for Pomonella. The other class, we had clinal loci showing in both host races. So here we have, again, the Hawthorn race in red, Apple race in green. And we see clinal variation based on allele frequencies in both host races. And again, we see a couple of loci in chromosome 4 showing this difference. Our third category was consistent genetic differentiation between the races. So here we had three loci exhibiting this, and you can see in our Sympatric collections here in Urbana, Dowagiac, Michigan, and Grant, Michigan, we have consistent significant differences in allele frequencies. But interestingly, all these loci map to chromosome 4 and 5. We didn't see any evidence of chromosome 1 through 3. And this might indicate that perhaps odor-specific genes or genes related to the reproductive isolation between these two host races might be located in chromosome 4 and 5. Out of our 36 tested, only three microsatellite loci did not show any differences in allele frequencies either within the races in the Klein or between the host race. And this suggests a greater, this suggests that a greater extent of the genome might be under selection. When we look at more outlier detections and deviations from neutrality, what we see is, first I'll talk about within the host, so here's within the Hawthorn race. We see a lot of loci here showing up as possible indications of recent selection when we compare our southern Texas site. But what's most interesting here is when we compare our most northern sites, where we see P16 consistently showing up as an effect of clinal variation within the Hawthorn race. And here I'm showing the result from FDIST. And what it does is it uses coalescence simulations to estimate the neutral variability, and it does a plot. So here is the average, and it does the negative 95% confidence interval and the positive 95% confidence interval shown here, and it's conditioned on heterozygosity versus FST. And so here these black dots represent the FST and heterozygosity of our observed data. Anything over these outliers is deemed a significant effect of selection acting on here. And here, P16 lies just outside this positive 95% confidence interval. So we see not as many loci as we did with the allele frequency clients, but we see P16 consistently showing in the northern populations. We see the same thing in Apple populations here, where P16, again, is showing up in our more northern populations. And here is the result of LNRH. Statistic here is the two standard deviations standardized, and then here P16 is high FST and is well outside the two standard deviation ranges. So here again we see P16 evolved in the northern population similar to the Hawthorn. So this might mean P16 could be linked to genes that are responsible for clinal variation and diapause. What's interesting when we compare between host races in our three individual populations, we see again P16 showing up, but it's showing a significant difference only in the Urbana populations here and not in our Dowagiac and Grant populations. So we see the P16 is also, and here is the result from FDIS, and you can see how far apart it is from the 95% confidence interval. So what you can see here is that P60 not only is affecting the decline of variation within races, but at least in our most southern St. Patrick collection site, it appears to be differentiated between the two host races. So we see P60 consistently showing up as significant. Why both? Well, it's possible that these could be linked to both diapause and host race genes. Why only Urbana? One thing that I've come up with is that the clines are most different in the south. So the Urbana population represents almost a close to the southern limit of the apple population. So it's possible that these are the area where the host races are most differentiated, and so our power to detect any outlier selection is greatest here in Urbana. So in conclusion, we see that allele frequency declines exist at many loci, and we see evidence of chromosome 4 and 5, which is a novel result for Pomonella. Previously, it's just thought on chromosomes 1 through 3. We see this conflicting signal from allele frequency declines and the test for neutrality. And I think this is possibly due to our ability to detect differences with these more molecular methods, or these more new statistical methods, where because of the recent population expansion, there's a lot of ancestor polymorphism, and just isn't time to sort it out, and the power to detect in the outlier loci is weak in these tests, at least for our study here. We see P16 might be a good candidate marker. That's something we are going to investigate further. And what we're going to try to do is look at more markers distributed across the genome, look at the AFLPs. There's been a lot of recent work on AFLPs and outlier detection and looking at loci under selection. We're going to try to combine this with Alzheimer's studies, look at linkages to equilibrium to see if we can pinpoint where in the genome a selection is occurring between the host races. And then we're also going to try to look at differentiation over time. If indeed we see allele frequencies that are more common in the south, which may indicate they're related to warmer temperatures, due to climate change, temperatures in the north are warming up, we might see an increase of more southern alleles in our northern populations. We're going to go back in our freezers and see if we have any collections to see if we can actually document this. And with that, I thank you.
Unfortunately, the next talk is canceled, so we have plenty of time for questions.
Yes, Lisa. So the question was if we saw any differences in the proportion of the presence of those host races in those three populations, and I don't think we do. I think they're equally, that really is dependent on the presence of the hosts. And I think more in the south, I think apples are probably less present, but we can find trees that are infested just as equally in both host races. That is difficult because it's hard to detect hybrids in the field. We have no molecular markers, so it's hard to detect the hybrids. We have been able to cross, and we've been trying to do some crossing studies, and so F1 hybrids in the lab at least seem to be, based on odor detection and odor testing, these F1 hybrids, they seem to be wired differently. So they don't respond to either fruit blend. So at least in the lab, we've documented that there's some post-zygotic isolation there. But in the field, it's very hard to detect hybrids because we collect these off of the host plant, so that's how we define them. And one of the goals of the study was to try to look for molecular markers to detect hybrids, and they just don't exist yet. And so that's something we're going to try in the future.